So I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding when it comes to what a leader is. I know I've discussed this before, but it keeps coming up again and again and again, where too many people will say, oh, it's someone who's determined, someone who's organized, someone who can plan, someone who can mentor, someone who can motivate. You're describing a great manager. You're describing someone who can take a group of people and achieve like an objective. That is a manager. That is a manager. So if you keep bringing it back to the raw root of it, of what is a leader is someone who people will follow. That doesn't matter whether you are a 6-year-old in the playground and all of the other boys and girls your age follow you because you are the one whose dad gives him enough money to go to the shop and buy ice creams every lunch. You are still the leader. People are now following you. They are following you for their own self gain because they all want an ice cream. But the point is, you are now the leader. You might be very bad, but you have something that everyone wants. You've sold them the dream. So essentially, if someone is going to become a leader, there are different types of leader. You've got different ones that are, some will be voted in from their peers and the people below them. So say, for example, you've got two politicians. So you've got your Democrats, your Republicans, you've got your Conservatives and the Labour. The two that they give you the choice between, you're like, okay, well, which one's least shit? I'm going to go for that one. So you're voting for the one that essentially sells you the dream, the one who's most charismatic. Now, there are some people who are loyal to the cause. They are essentially, they're red through and through, or they're blue through and through, or whatever it is, whatever their colour may be. But a lot of people will follow the one that sells them the dream. When you are black, 50, 60, however many years ago it was, quite a few decades ago, and you have a man who says he has a dream that everyone is going to be treated equal, and he sees his children, blah, blah, blah. He's selling a dream. He's literally selling a dream. Even when you had Trump saying that he wants to make America great again, he's selling a dream. Hitler saying he wanted to make Germany great again. He wanted to get rid of the Jews and say, let's take our country back. Pretty much exactly what Trump said. Selling the dream. That's all you're doing. So if you sell the dream, you are now, people will start saying, yeah, I want to follow him or her. They are saying something that I like the sound of that essentially benefits me. Whether it's safety, whether it's popularity, what money, whatever it may be, a bigger house, higher wages, more holidays, whatever it is, you are following that person because they benefit an ideal of yours. That is someone who becomes a leader. They get voted in. Now, the other types of leader are going to be the ones that get promoted from above. So if you're in a corporate environment, and they're usually the brown noses. So what do the brown noses do? What do people call them? Yes men. So what are they doing? They're selling a dream, but upwards. So instead of selling the dream downwards, these people are now selling the dream upwards. They're essentially salesmen. They are telling you what you want to hear. Yep, I will get that done. Yep, I'll do this. Yep, I'll do that. Yes, man. And then when they fail, they blame everyone else. Well, I said I was going to do it, but everyone else let me down. So I will get you it if you get me better people. They fail again, fail again, fail it. They've always got someone else to blame. But they are selling the dream. They're selling the dream to their bosses. Whereas a realist, me, they will say to me, a boss will say to me, right, I need this project done. It's going to take 6 months, blah, blah, blah. And I say, you can't do it in 6 months because physically it's impossible. You need to do this, you need to do that. But I'm telling them the truth. Dickhead across the road is saying, yeah, I'll get it done. So they go with him. He fails, but he's now got that promotion. He's now got more money because he sold them the dream. So being that salesman, being charismatic, being the person that everyone wants to be like or gain from, that is a leader. Whether that is a, let's call it, a man that lots of women desire him. Women are like, wow, I'd love to make babies with him. He is the man that all the women want. So all the women will follow him because they want to be with him, because it gives them prestige over the other women. And all the men follow him because they want to be like him, because all the women want him. He automatically becomes a leader because of the way he looks, nothing else. So a leader is someone who has followers. Now you look at the longevity of staying a leader. Now, if you're someone who is good looking, like I said, the big, tall, good looking man who chiseled, all the women like him, there will come a day where women's priorities change. Young girls want him. They get a bit older and they realize, do you know what? I want a man who can support me, support my family, give me security. Her priorities change, her desires change. The popularity of who the women want will change. Therefore, the one who is getting all the female attention will automatically become the leader of the women and the leader of the men. Same again if you have a business, and in that business you are, let's say for example, making a decision. You make a decision, and you make a decision that benefits everyone. Everyone wants to follow you because it benefits them. Now, if you make decisions that start not benefiting people, you make decisions that say, I want the best for the business, people don't want to follow you anymore, because now it's not about what they can gain. They may be able to get the same amount of money somewhere else, but their life is going to be easier. They've got less work to do. So if you want them to put in that amount of work, they want more money for it. So you're not going to do it because they're a charity. So now you've got the problem of, you did sell people the dream, but now you have to maintain it. So you need to keep that longevity. You need to be able to keep people happy. That is harder. That is the job of a manager. That is someone who can gather all their resources, disperse them equally, keep people happy, manage, motivate. Again, keep selling people the dream as you're going along and along and along. So having that management skill is what gives you the longevity. Now, again, different types of leaders can get longevity in different ways. If you're born as the king of Egypt and you become king at 6 years old and you just get older and older and older and older, nothing takes that away. You are still the king. So it's not about your looks. It is not about anything else other than you were born the king. So your longevity is kind of already there, unless someone decides to kill you. So longevity is something that when you earn that status of leader, you need to then work to maintain it. Now, I watched the film Dune the other day, or Dune 2, I should say. And when I can't remember his name, the prince, whatever his name is, when he gives that speech and he says, I'll stand up to all of you, and they're all like, what? We're going to kill you. He says something, he sells them the dream. He convinces each of their leaders that he is the chosen one. And he's very clever about saying, right, you in charge, I know something about you, and I'm getting into your head to convince you that I am the chosen one. He's like, wow. And then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And there's a very powerful sign in that, that if you can convince the leader of a group that you are superior to him, if you can convince him, his followers will automatically follow you. They follow him, therefore they follow you. Now, as soon as one group does that, so you would pick on the easiest target, as soon as one group does that, the next group are more inclined to do the same. and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. And before you know it, everyone in the room is agreed, you are the leader. So what he did was very clever. And I think, and I've said this lots of times, if you look at people from when I said about doing that research with ex-military leaders, and then you say to them, what makes you think you're a good leader? And they say, I'm organized, I can plan, I can this. And then you say, do you think you're a better leader than people that weren't in the military? Yes, I am. Yes, I believe it's given me those skills. Do you think you could manage an office? Yes, I do. Now, if you asked any other person, say they'd come out of any other career, they were a postman, and then now they've gone into an office environment, the same corporate environment, same age, you say to them, do you think you can lead the room? No, I don't. I'm just a postman. So the belief, for me, is the thing that gives that person the ability to walk in and lead the room. Now, when they've led that room for 1 week, purely on, let's call it, blind faith that they can do it, that week of blind faith reinstills their confidence that they can do it, and everyone in the room believes they can do it. It's the power of someone who was one of your peers goes and gets promoted, becomes your manager. When they become your manager, everyone in the room kind of sees them as still, they're just your mate. It doesn't quite work. They then get a transfer to another department where they don't know anyone, and they come in as a manager. Everyone sees them as a manager, not as their equal. So the belief system is very, very powerful. And being able to convince everyone that you are in charge, that whole salesman thing, that is one of the most powerful things I think there is. To be able to convince your followers with charisma, with whatever it may be, manipulation, to do that, to become the leader, that is a gift. That is a gift. Now, I think you can teach people to be charismatic. You can teach people to have confidence and believe in themselves. You can. So you can teach people to become leaders. Now, what you can't teach people to do is become selfless leaders. And this is where I think there's a big difference. You're selfless and you're selfish. Yeah, no. Not say selfish. Self-serving. So you have some people who are very, I'm going to achieve because I want to get further in life and I want to prosper and I want to achieve success and I want to win and I want this and I want that. And then there's others who, they do what they do to make other people's lives better. To their purpose isn't themselves. Their purpose isn't, I want a car. Their purpose is, I want to give other people an education. I want to give poor kids teeth. I want to give poor kids safety. Whatever it may be, if your first thought is of other people and to protect other people, then that is the sign of a selfless leader compared to a selfish leader. Selfish isn't the right word. Self-serving leader. So, like I said, getting into power and then what you do with that power, I think are two very different skills. You need to be a salesman, you need to have charisma, you need to have something about you, an energy, a vibration, whatever you want to call it. You need to have that thing. Once you've got that thing, you then need to be able to maintain it. What is it you are selling? Can you maintain that thing? Then, once you're there, can you use that force for good? You don't have to. You can be a Hitler if you like. It's not great, but you can be one of those cults where you convince people to believe in your cult and then ruin their lives with getting them to devil worship and all those sort of things. You know, that's not great. You probably shouldn't do that. That's evil. You're manipulating people to do something that is wrong. But if you have the power to manipulate people, you have the power to get people to follow you by whatever means, that is a leader. There are very different ways. There are lots of different ways to get people to follow you. Force, manipulation, charisma, even just an ideal, giving them an ideal that they all want, freedom, more money, whatever it may be. So this is something that I think there is a massive misunderstanding at the moment of what a leader is. A leader says, you know, people say, oh, well, a leader is the person at my office who is in charge. Possibly not a leader, because people aren't choosing to follow them. They are there because they're getting paid to be there. That's very different. If people are choosing to be there for any other reason, if they're choosing to follow you, that's different. If they think they are choosing to follow you, again, that still counts. So if you manipulate people into following you, they are still technically following you. But if they are following you because they are humouring you to get something else, they're not following you. You are not the leader. You may be in charge, but you're not the leader. So getting people to follow you is the first step. What are you going to give them? What are you going to sell to them? What dream is it that, what is it you have that those people want? Lots of people want. What can it be? Can it be, I can change your life. I can make you money. I can this, I can that. Look at the amount of people online that will say, oh, I can make you $1,000 a day, and everyone follows them. Because they're selling a dream. They are leaders, they get followers. That's it. They might be lying, they might be charlatans, they might be whatever it may be. The point is they're getting people to follow them by selling the dream. Then you have to keep them there. That's the key. And generally, you keep them there by coming through on what you said. So, you know, you say you're going to do something, you do it. That is how you maintain them. And also being selfless. Selfless is very difficult, because it's very difficult to get people to want to follow you if you are telling them that you want to achieve selfless ideals and you want everyone to do the same, because most people aren't selfless. So if you say, I want to create this amazing company where everyone is going to help other people, a lot of people kind of go, it's not really me. If you say, I want to help lots of people be the best version of themselves, and I want to help everyone else be successful, everyone says, oh, I want a bit of that, I want to be successful. That's the difference. So you are a salesman. Get people to follow you, then you need to maintain it, however it may be, but you need to keep them. If you are in a leadership position and you want to maintain that leadership position, I do believe that everyone, if you have the ability, you should be in a leadership position, and you should use it for good. Whether you are manipulating people to make better choices in their life, and a lot of people say, oh, you're taking away free will. You may be, but some people need a gentle shove in the right direction. Who am I to make that decision? Someone that can possibly see they're going in the wrong direction. If they're not, I let them make that choice. Sometimes you have to let people make that choice. But other times I feel certain people need protecting up to a certain point. And let's say my kids are climbing up a tree, and they climb up the lowest branches, and the branch breaks and they fall out. That's fine. I don't mind, because I know they're going to survive that. So I let them climb the tree and I let them make those mistakes. But if my kids were like, right, we're going to go up to the top of that 50-foot tree, and I know that those branches are going to break, I don't let them do it. I convince them to do something else, and I convince them that is their idea. I don't tell them not to do it, because if I tell them not to do it, what's the first thing they're going to do when I turn my back? Go up the fucking tree. So if instead I need to convince them that it is their idea, that it is a bad idea. So I need to inception their ass, essentially. Anyway, waffle over. I wanted to get that out, that June speech. I thought it was really good when I watched it, and I did think that he very well manipulated that room. He manipulated everyone into following him. Very, very clever. Very clever. Another question, though. Another quick question for you that I wrote down. My question is this. Why can't some people delay gratification? Why not? Why do some people have such an issue with putting in 6 months' work to get the result that they want? Why is it some people will say, I want to run a business and I want it to happen now? Or I'm happy to put in the work, I'm happy to wait the time, they do 6 months, and then it slowly peters off, and then they don't do it. And then they say, ah, it didn't work, it didn't happen. No, it didn't happen because you stopped. It didn't happen. Why do some people say they're going to do something and they don't? Why do those young kids that you say, do you want a pound now? Or let's call it a donut. Do you want the donut now or do you want 10 donuts in a week? Donut. I can't think of anything else. You know what I'm saying? Dollars, pounds, euros. Let's call it that. Do you want $10 today or do you want $100 in 10 days? And people go, I'll take the 10. Because it's there in front of them. I mean, that's a bit of an extreme because most people probably say the 100. If you said a year, $100 in a year or $50 today, most people would say, oh, I'll have the 50 today. Because I might not be here in a year, blah, blah, blah. It's about, for me, life is about being a squirrel. It's about sowing as many skills as you can, tiny little skills all the time, everywhere. Like a squirrel planting a nut here and a nut here and a nut here and a nut here and a nut here. And a lot of people will say, well, you're spreading yourself too thin, you're never going to become a master of anything. Maybe. There are certain things that I think you can still master anyway. You can't do something 24 hours a day. You can't. Your mind will just go insane. So maybe you can do 10 hours a day of something. That's fine. You do that 10 hours a day. But in those other 14 hours that you're still doing it, okay, you're sleeping for 8 of those. But that means you've still got 6 hours. Yes, you're eating. I know all that stuff. But if you spend 10 minutes learning another language, 15 minutes reading a book on, I don't know, it could be anything. Calligraphy, for like it. You could be doing 30 minutes in the gym every day. You could be doing 15 minutes of stretching. It doesn't need to be anything this productive. It could be learning to do a Rubik's Cube. It could be I've started doing bonsai trees. I find it really relaxing. But if you've got something like that and you kind of go, oh, I wouldn't mind doing a bit of that today. Now, rarely do you have to do much with bonsai trees. They're essentially trees. So they take years to grow. So it's not like I'm doing them very often. But it's another one of those little things that, oh, I like doing that. I do archery, but I'm never going to be a world champion. So I do archery when I feel like doing archery. And sometimes I find it really relaxing. I love it. I enjoy it. It's cool. Other things I like doing. Just pick all these little things. Squirrel them away. Just bit by bit by bit. And it's the same with leadership. I believe if you think to yourself, I don't have the confidence to, I don't believe I can manage this room. You do things bit by bit by bit. You will say to yourself, well, I might not have the confidence to lead this room. But you know what? I am going to have the confidence to say hello to someone in this room that I've never spoken to before. And you do it once. And then you do it the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You do it 10 days in a row. You say hello to someone that you don't know. And you know what? After 10 days, you go, wow, my confidence is so much further along than it was 10 days ago. It's insane. And then you set yourself another goal. But it might have been the first time that you were so, like, you got so much anxiety that you don't even want to say hello to someone. So instead, you might sit there and just say to yourself, do you know what? I'm going to make eye contact with 10 people today. That might make you on edge. So you might just say, do you know what? I am going to stand next to someone in the supermarket that's looking at food and pretend I'm looking at the food that's next to them. That might give you anxiety, but just do it. It could be anything. If you're that anxious, so you don't even want to go out, say you're a complete agoraphobe, you might just say, do you know what? I'm going to look out the curtain 10 times today. Next day, I'm just going to open the door and stand in the door 10 times. Next day, I'm going to have one step, just one step outside the house and stand there for 5 minutes. Next day, you're 5 steps, stand there for 10 minutes. Blah, 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 blah. Baby steps, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. I believe if you do that, anyone can gain the charisma to be a leader. Maintaining it is a different thing. Being selfless is a different thing. But getting people to follow you, that is an achievable skill. being a compassionate, selfless, caring shepherd, let's say a great leader, I don't believe you can teach that. But teaching someone to be able to get people to follow them, sorry, I believe you can teach that. You can teach someone to have charisma. You can teach someone to have confidence. You can teach someone to maybe not manipulate, but convince people that you have something that they want. Like I said, an ideal, whatever it may be. Anyway, I'll leave you with that. And let me know if you've got any answer to any of those questions. I'd love to hear from you. Cool. I'll speak to you again.